When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The U.S. announced sanctions on Russia after Russian troops moved into eastern Ukraine. How the crisis and the West's penalties could roil the global economy.
Some economists are talking about a kind of 1970s-style shock, which could seriously reduce global growth because prices for these important commodities are rising just at a time when the economies around the world are reopening after the pandemic.
And how markets are reacting to the geopolitical crisis. Plus, combating ageism while job hunting. It's Tuesday, February 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. President Biden announced what he called a first round of sanctions targeting Russia's financial institutions and sovereign debt after President Vladimir Putin moved troops into Ukraine's eastern Donbas region. Speaking from the White House, Biden called it the beginning of a Russian invasion of Ukraine and a, quote, flagrant violation of international law.
We're implementing full blocking sanctions on two large Russian financial institutions, VEB and their military bank. We're implementing comprehensive sanctions on Russian sovereign debt. That means we've cut off Russia's government from Western financing. It can no longer raise money from the West and cannot trade in its new debt on our markets or European markets either.
Biden said the U.S. and its allies are prepared to levy additional sanctions if Moscow goes further, but that the West remains open to serious efforts at diplomacy. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken canceled a planned meeting for Thursday with the Russian foreign minister, which the U.S. had said was contingent on, quote, no further Russian invasion of Ukraine. The major U.S. stock indexes ended the day with losses as investors assessed the threat of an all-out war in Ukraine and the ramifications of sanctions. The S&P 500 dropped 1%, falling into correction territory after losing more than 10% from its January 3rd high. The Dow lost 482 points, or 1.4%, and the Nasdaq fell 1.2%. Coming up later in the show, we'll talk more about sanctions and other global economic risks due to the crisis. A federal jury found three white men who murdered Ahmaud Arbery, a black man in Georgia, guilty of federal hate crimes and other charges. This follows their conviction for the 2020 killing in state court. All three were sentenced to life in prison. The Justice Department indicted them on federal hate crimes charges last year. Attorney General Merrick Garland spoke about today's verdict in a press conference.
No one should fear being attacked or threatened because of what they look like, where they are from, whom they love, or how they worship. And no one should fear that if they go out for a run, they will be targeted and killed because of the color of their skin.
Arbery's death drew national attention after a video showing his fatal shooting was circulated, and the case led to the passage of a hate crime law in Georgia. U.S. home prices rose at a record pace in 2021 as buyers took advantage of low mortgage rates and competed for a limited number of homes for sale. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Price Index, which measures average home prices in major metropolitan areas across the nation, rose 18.8% over the year ending in December, and total home sales rose to a 15-year high. In earnings news, Home Depot said its quarterly sales increased by 11% from a year earlier as the pandemic continued to fuel its growth, leading to its first year of sales over $150 billion. But the company said sales growth will likely slow this year, and shares fell nearly 9%, their biggest daily drop since the start of the pandemic. Macy's said sales rose 28% in the holiday quarter from a year earlier. The retailer also said it decided not to separate its e-commerce and brick-and-mortar businesses, despite an activist investor calling for it to do so. Macy's CEO said the split would carry higher costs and risks, and that the combined company would deliver more value to shareholders and convenience for shoppers. and the U.S. Soccer Federation, and dozens of members of the U.S. women's national team who suited for gender discrimination reached a $24 million equal pay deal. Under the agreement, $22 million would go to the class of 61 women and $2 million into a fund that those players can access for post-career goals and charitable efforts. U.S. Soccer also committed to paying the women's and men's teams the same rate going forward. The deal will only be finalized once the women's team and the federation ratify a new collective bargaining agreement. Coming up, the risks that Russia's escalation in Ukraine pose to the global economy.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Global economies are still emerging from the pandemic, and now they're facing new risks to their recovery after Russia's decision to deploy troops to two breakaway Ukrainian provinces. The crisis and punishing sanctions from the West are threatening further disruptions to global supply chains. Plus, Germany put the Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline, which would connect it to Russia bypassing Ukraine, on hold indefinitely. The price of oil and other Russian and Ukrainian exports are also on the rise. Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal European economics correspondent Tom Fairless. Hi, Tom. Thanks for being here.
Hi there, Anne-Marie.
So, Tom, let's start with sanctions, which the West had threatened and was quick to impose on Russia. What aspects of Russia's economy are these sanctions largely targeting, and what is the practical impact they're intended to have?
Initially, they'll target Russian entities, Russian companies and banks and individuals. So far, the UK has said it will target a few smaller Russian banks and some oligarchs. So it's kind of a deterrent, I think, at this stage, and it depends very much what President Putin does next, how deep they go. I think analysts think it's unlikely that they'll target the SWIFT payment system, which would have big repercussions for Russia, but also for counterparts in the West. SWIFT is the Belgian-based kind of messaging system that banks globally use to communicate with one another when they want to make transactions. And so blocking access is a pretty big deal. It stops them doing international transactions and isolates the financial system. And I think it can interrupt their internal domestic transactions too, depending on how they've set the system up. So that would be a real kind of nuclear option if the West went that route. But I think analysts think that that's probably unlikely at this stage, at least. And it's possible they could target energy companies, some aspect of Russia's energy exports, and that would have a significant impact on global growth and especially European growth, because Europe is especially dependent on energy imports from Russia.
And Tom, you mentioned that there may be potential impacts on other nations because of these sanctions. Can you talk about some of those aspects? Many nations have curbed their reliance on Russian exports, but some are still pretty dependent on them.
Russia's economy is about the size of Spain's. Its global impact is quite limited. It's not a massive export market for Europe, for instance, but Europe is heavily dependent on energy, on gas and oil imports from Russia. I think close to 50% of gas imports in the EU are from Russia, and about a quarter of oil imports. So there's a heavy reliance. And Russia is an important producer of commodities, energy, but also things like copper and aluminum, precious metals like palladium. Russia supplies 40% of the world's palladium, which is used for catalytic converters in cars. And also Russia and Ukraine export a lot of wheat. And I think there's a lot of fertilizer that's exported from Russia. So all of that could affect global food prices, which are already rising. The global supply chains are in a mess still, 2 years on from the start of COVID, and this is going to probably aggravate those issues. And Germany took this quite bold move today to potentially stop the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which would have vastly expanded the capacity to import directly from Russia.
So we've been talking about energy, and we've started to see an impact already on oil prices, which have already been nearing $100 a barrel. How is this escalation in tensions likely to impact energy markets? What are analysts kind of bracing for here?
depending on how far the military action goes, I think analysts are saying that $120 per barrel is possible, even as high as $140 if the situation escalates. And gas prices, European gas prices would also move. That would significantly increase inflation in Europe, especially, but globally. And it would weigh on growth as well. And I mean, some economists are talking about a kind of 1970s style shock, which could seriously reduce global growth because prices for these important commodities are rising just at a time when the economies around the world are reopening after the pandemic and demand is surging. It could cause a real inflation spike around the world.
The crisis is also posing a challenge for the world's central banks, which are trying to steer world economies out of the pandemic and help tame rising inflation. How are these developments over the past few days likely to influence monetary policy in the biggest economies around the world?
The Fed and the ECB both have important meetings coming up next month, and this is likely to make them more cautious. Both were trying to figure out a way to reduce, to phase out easy money, to try and raise interest rates because inflation has come in much higher than anyone anticipated until recently. And this just, it makes their calculations more complicated. For the Fed, it was expected to raise interest rates at its March 15th, 16th meeting. This will probably make them a little bit more cautious. Instead of raising perhaps by a half percentage point, they might raise by a quarter percentage point. And the ECB is also likely to tread more carefully because it's just unclear what the fallout is for the economy. It's difficult because as a central bank, you'd want to try and look through an energy shock and wait because you can't affect the economy in the short term with interest rates and you wait for it to pass. But with inflation running so high already, they can't really afford to wait any longer. So they sort of have to push ahead with these interest rate increases. And it just makes the decision much, much more complicated for them.
What are the biggest concerns both for the U.S. and for European economies at this point, Tom?
So the costs of all of this, it's going to be falling on Europe because Europe is so heavily dependent on Russian energy. And also, Europe's economy is probably in a more sensitive position than the U.S., that demand in Europe and growth in Europe is softer, partly because Europe didn't have the massive fiscal stimulus that the U.S. did. So, you know, there is a risk that this could tip the economy downwards because it doesn't have so much momentum as the U.S.
That's Wall Street Journal European economics correspondent Tom Fairless. Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Very good to speak to you.
And finally, in today's hot hiring market, workers have had the upper hand for months now. But even with so many positions available, some job candidates have a steeper climb than others. Staying competitive can be especially hard for workers over 50. So how can a more experienced worker jumpstart their career? Our reporter Ray Smith says job candidates should play up their skills.
It's just really important to stress what you can do, what you've achieved, but also that you're someone who can succeed in whatever scenario you're put in, that you can work well with others, for instance, so that you're somebody who's a team player, or just because you've been working for a long time and you have all this experience, that you're not open to change or open to taking directions or open to working with younger people. But what you want to really focus on is not so much the years spent at where you worked or what you did, but you really want to play up the skills and what you can achieve and what you can get done. And that's going to really make the difference and get people to focus less on how old you are and more on your talent. And that's your goal.
You can hear more from Ray on this morning's episode of our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.